listening to Strange Label.
Hello, this is the Chris Brick Show. I'm Chris Brick, singer, my good friend John Rapp. John!
Hey.
All right, I believe that we should just spend the first 10 minutes here talking to people on Periscope.
Periscope, okay.
Yeah, that's what I think we should do. But in a second, we're going to be speaking to somebody who is from Greenwood. Alohan Varela just joined. Yes.
Aloha, Alohan.
Alohan. Periscope. If you don't know what Periscope is, it's like a, I don't even know what it is. Greenfield Blues from Greenfield on.
What was it? What about the handcuffs?
Handcuff County.
Handcuff County is what I hear.
Is what they call Hancock County. This feels like an Indiana-centric show today.
Yeah.
Everybody on Periscope's from Indiana in some fashion. We got somebody from Minnesota as well. So what's happening here is we're speaking to somebody from Indiana. Although Periscopers, I apologize, you're not going to be able to hear them, and you're probably going to turn off once we get them on the phone. Apologies in advance. Although maybe I could fix that a little bit.
More comedy gems coming if you wish. Keep them coming, Greenfield. We don't have any writers.
We're speaking to a guy named Skylar Cross, so I have to ask him if that's his real name, because that sounds a little pretentious to be somebody's real name. Unless he has pretentious parents. Although that might get the interview off to a rough start if I ask him that right off the bat. But this guy has a Kickstarter campaign. I saw it on Facebook yesterday. So this is a last-minute guest. I thought it was interesting because it said, bring the music to Greenwood, Indiana. Which I need to pull up and see exactly what he's trying to do there. I'll just ask him. I'm too lazy. Let's play this ukulele, John.
Yeah.
Hey, we're live every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time on strangelabel.com. Pretentious parents should be in first three questions, is what Greenfield Blues says. So, okay, when we talk to this guy, I'm sorry, Greenfield Blues, you're not going to get to hear it because we're wearing headphones and this guy's coming through the headphones, but I will ask him that.
And it's recorded as a podcast.
Yeah, so on Monday you'll be able to listen to it, or you can go to strangelabel.com and listen to it now. Okay, let's play this. Ooh, is that right?
I like it. Sounds weird though.
This guy says, what kind of music are we bringing to our fair state?
That's a good question. Yeah, bring the music. What kind of music?
Let me just do this guy's whole interview for him so that I don't have to. You know, we'll keep this guy on here. Damn it. Why is this? I'm just going to focus on the fact that this guy's not going to be able to hear.
Well, I guess we could relay it to him or just in our answers say, oh, so the reason you're bringing it here is because that's exactly what I just said. Yes.
we'll relay it to him. Also,
Chris, for $100, you can get your face on the wall of fame. I really wanted to, we should do that.
Okay, now this is the one I'm looking for right here. Greenfield Blue says, is the politics of this show pro-medical marijuana legalization? The politics, we do not necessarily discuss politics because nobody brings it up. But since you asked, I am pro all marijuana legalization. I don't know about John.
Yeah, go ahead and legalize it. Why was it illegalized in the first place? Well, I think we all know. Yeah, legalize it.
John, tell the people why marijuana was illegal, became illegal.
Because the cotton plant was more profitable. They could make more money off of it. You could sell more of it. It didn't go as far, and everyone had invested in their money into cotton. And so this new thing came out that was like 10 times more, useful. You could do
efficient,
right? You get 10 times more use out of it, so you couldn't make as much money off of it. So they made it illegal, and they put out that crazy movie to scare everybody.
Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness.
Ah.
Anytime the government does something that's stupid, there's something else going on.
So you're saying that it was like a corporate strong-arming of some sort.
That's the story I heard, yeah.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm trying to clarify for the lay person like myself.
Yeah, it's all some crap, you know? Like, it was they made it illegal because they wanted to make more money by selling cotton.
The illegalization of marijuana, a bunch of crap.
Those
damn DuPonts holding the green plant down.
They're going to hold the green man down.
You know what? I saw that movie, that DuPont, about that guy, that Steve Carell. What's that called? That was the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. Like I can't believe I've heard people speak highly of that. You know, like I just don't get it. Maybe it was a good movie. I just did not get it.
Steve Carell is in this movie, DuPont?
And Channing Tatum and Mark Ruffalo.
Is it a comedy?
Foxcatcher. There we go. Thank you, Lauren.
Foxcatcher. What's Foxcatcher?
It's just a shitty movie, man.
Okay.
It's boring.
Foxcatcher.
It's like 3 hours long. Every single scene is slow, and nothing happens. And then in the very last 5 minutes, something happens, and then the movie ends, and it's not even that big of a deal. Yeah.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of bad movies.
I don't understand it. Not one bit. I'm going to try something here. Again.
Is it a comedy? Olympic wrestling champion brother joins Team Foxcatcher.
It was not a comedy.
Okay,
you got
wow.
a comment Steve, over there, John.
Foxcatcher was my stripper name. Hey, shout out to Foxcatcher. That was your stripper name, Greenfield Blues. That'll get you put in the probation and with the handcuffs and county and everything. I can't imagine Steve Carell in a serious movie, so I imagine this Foxcatcher sucks.
You said that?
Yeah.
You said that?
It might be okay, but yeah, Steve Carell's got one guy that he always plays, that guy on The Office, that guy in all the other movies he's in, that guy. I can't see him doing a serious movie about a wrestling show. I saw the trailer for that. It looked hilarious. But then, yeah, it's a drama. I'm currently on a list over it. Oh, no, you got on a list? I think that we're all on a list now. Everyone on this show, everyone in this Periscope, well, we're on lists. Now you're on another one. You're on my list. I've got a list. 11 things about Foxcatcher that the film covered up. Ooh.
I'm sorry. I'm moving around all over the place because I'm trying. I don't know. I put some headphones. Hopefully, if somebody does stick around, we retained 6 listeners so far. If somebody does stick around, they should be able to hear more because I put headphones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just put headphones over next to the thing.
There's lots of hearts. You guys can hear this now? You, sir, is just getting a follower.
Thank you.
Greenfield Blues.
One day we'll have this Periscope running much smoother.
So one more thing about this Foxcatcher. Mark Schultz, the guy it was based on, didn't like it. He didn't even like it. Everything I've ever... It went from Rocky to something. I can't click on it because... computer's slow, but he didn't even like it. When the guy that it's about doesn't like it, and Steve Carell's in it.
Who's Mark Schultz? Is that the Channing Tatum character?
He's the Olympic wrestler.
There's a couple of them. I think it's a Channing Tatum guy, yeah. Who knows, man? Like, I heard this movie was supposed to be great. I think it has great Rotten Tomatoes reviews, too, and I was just like,
yeah,
watching them. I'm like, when's something going to happen? What's going on? You know, I'd rather sit through Boyhood again than watch fucking Foxcatcher.
It's basically one long sick joke played at half speed. That's what a critic said.
So good. Someone agrees with me.
The acclaim's easy to understand. The movie's take at times is fascinating, but it's basically one long sick joke. Well, maybe it is a comedy.
I'm really curious. Okay, maybe it's not. I was like, that Garfunkel, everything behind you looks like it's backwards. Ahan 61 joined.
Hey, Ahan, this one's for you.
Can I tell you something fucked up before we get this guy on?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll try and explain as concisely as I can for people, so for people to understand what I'm talking about, if they don't. And that is, I watched this guy on Periscope named Monotone Matt.
Ah.
And usually there's only like 6 people, much like right now, you know, there's only like 6 people in his group.
Yeah.
And I talk to him all the time. He's from the Howard Stern Show. He's one of the Whack Packers, you know, kind of, or he's just a regular caller. He's just some animated guy, and I thought he was, you know, funny to listen to. So I started, you know, and he has a wife who's a little person.
That's who you listen to. You watch him on Periscope.
Yeah. I like that guy because he's always shit-faced drunk, peeing in the sink. You know, and he's got his wife who's like really, you know, kind of sick. She's a little person, and she's on dialysis and stuff. And I've been watching him for like a week or two now, and he always gets on the end of the night all drunk. And, you know, she's the other night, they moved back to Chicago so she could get better health care, you know?
Okay.
And so the other night I was watching him, and he was at, luckily he was sober, but I guess she had, something happened to her. He thought maybe she had a stroke and he had to take her to the ER.
Wow.
Yeah. And she, I mean, you'd watch her on Periscope too. She's always there when she lets him show her. Yeah, she's just hilarious. You know? Like, he's always drunk, you know, and he's just like, he shows his penis, you know, or just the base of it. And he sings, you know, because he'll get banned if he shows the whole thing. So he just shows the base of it, and he plays it like a bass. He stretches out and slaps it and goes, all about that bass, no piss hole. And he'll just sing that for like, you know,
that is insane.
A minute and a half before his wife from the other room goes, okay, geez.
Does he stop?
Yeah, he just starts cracking up. Did you hear Giggles? Yeah, that's his wife's name, Giggles. He just starts laughing about her. Yeah, and, you know, I go in there, I shoot the shit with that guy all the time. And the other night he was doing it outside in the genre. Good God, the genre has changed. That's what somebody commented on. The show does that.
Greenfield Blues.
So I'm talking to this guy. He's outside of the University of Chicago, and he's holding his wife's purse, of course. He's waiting for her, and there's like some crackhead, and he's avoiding the person, you know. It's real funny to watch him because he literally, like, you can see the guy on his screen, and Matt just runs the opposite direction. he doesn't even say anything, guy. He just starts running just to stay away from the guy asking for money. And he said they're waiting on x-rays or something. He didn't seem too concerned. And last night, I saw he got on Periscope, and I waited about 6 minutes before I went on there, and I got on there, and he was standing there, or sitting. It was just basically he was crying.
Oh,
and
wow!
Like, this looks weird. And he, you know, he doesn't smoke weed, and he had this little jar of that looked like it had weed in it. And he was holding it up to the camera. And when he saw that I logged in, he goes, "Hey, Chris." He goes, "This is all that's left of her until I get the ashes."
What?
And I realized it was a lock of her hair.
And his wife?
His wife passed away.
Oh, man.
Yesterday.
Dang, dude.
This first time I've been following on Periscope.
That sucks.
Yeah, dude. I started fucking, I mean, it was a roller coaster. I can't imagine what he's going through. But you know what I mean? Like, we don't know each other. But somehow, you know, we were just hanging out. And this fucking, you know, I'll be honest. I started crying.
Yeah, dude. That's real intense. What was her name?
Giggles.
Giggles. You know, rest in peace. Like, that's...
Stephanie was her real name.
That's an awful sudden, man. You know, like...
I know. I mean, she probably... I think she had close in calls before, but yeah, you know, my thoughts go out to him. Like, that's crazy. I just can't stop thinking about it, so I had to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know... Use our show to say condolences, or if that, you know, take a minute to show our respect here, you know. That's a bummer, dude. We're here for you, Monotone Matt, you know. Keep it on the bright side, I guess, if you need anything.
If you want to watch him on Periscope, it's at Mono Matt, MonoMatt. But yeah, he gets on there. Dude, oh my God, it was so sad because she kind of keeps him in line, you know. And I basically... It got down to her. Just two or three people were watching him last night on Periscope, and it was clear that, you know, he didn't have anybody he really wanted to talk to, you know, so he was just talking to us, you know, so like, here's this guy who just lost his wife earlier that day, and, you know, I don't think he'd slept that much in a couple of days, and he's talking to us, and it's very clear that, like, his words start to slur. Like, it's basically clear that his body's giving out on him, you know, because he's been awake for so long, and he's shit-faced, he's drinking, and he lays down, and he starts, like, as he's talking, like, the phone will just, like, hit him in the face, you know, like, you know, because, you know, his hand will move closer, and then he'll kind of, you know, and, you know, just keep talking to you. And The last thing he said when I watched him last night was, I'm going to get another beer. And he moved a little bit, and then the phone just dropped, and it was a shot of the ceiling, and then you just started hearing him snoring.
Oh, man, dude. That sounds like a horror movie.
It is. Yeah, and his stream stayed on until the phone died. It was real. I mean, it's really hard to watch, and I hope he takes care of himself, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm not judging him for fucking, you know, your wife dies. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, you fucking drink yourself to sleep all you need to, you know?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Just don't get hurt or whatever. Don't take it too far.
Yeah. So that fucked me up, man. I hope he's doing all right.
Have you seen him today?
No. No, he hasn't logged on.
Who is speaking now? Introductions.
Greenfield Blues says, who is speaking now? I'm Chris Brake, but for some reason I put the camera on John, although he's telling me I shouldn't do that. John, show me. Pick that up if you can, and remember how to put it back out so it doesn't fall. What are you doing? Just touch the black sides, you know? What are you trying to not do?
Oh, I was trying to not...
Oh. Hey! I'm waving! All right, John.
This Chris.
All right, we need to call this guy. We're down to 3 viewers. Maybe we put it on my face. We'd have a...
Yeah, I told you that would make more sense, but...
Oh, you still got the headphones over there.
Yeah, I was trying to.
Oh, that's what you were messing with.
Magnificent beard. See, they want to see the beard.
Thanks. I get distracted if my face is on there. I don't know why. All right, let's call up. Somber mood. Gonna kill it. We're going to kill it. Oh, man.
Hello. Oh, 1 second. Sorry.
Is that a British accent?
I wish it was.
All right. We ready? You're live on the Chris Brake Show.
Hi. How's it going?
Pretty good, man. Is this Skylar Cross?
Yep.
All right, I have to ask you right off the bat, is that your real name?
Yep.
Wow.
I am very fortunate.
Fortunate?
For me, anyway.
It sounds like too cool to be true. You know, it sounds kind of pretentious, like, hey, you know, like, I'm going to be, you know, like, do you know what I'm saying? It's too cool to be real.
Well, like, for the longest time growing up, I hated it, because, like, everyone's like, Skylar's a girl name, and, like, Cross, that's weird, and I'm just like... Now I'm, like, fully kind of appreciating, like, what my mom gave me. So, like, for me, it's good.
All right. Now, what exactly... Okay, we stumbled across your Kickstarter campaign on Facebook, and it's called How to... What is it? Bring Music Back to Greenwood. Or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? And, like, what
so,
do you...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Like, there's a lot of people that are just outsourcing their music, especially, like, out of state or out of Greenwood. People just can't find the opportunity to perform or to record or to even practice in the Greenwood area and a lot of Indiana in general. And so I'm working on this project just to make this area where we could do all that, where we could have practice spaces for those who can't practice at home and have recording studios set up that are professional but still are like cheap and aren't gonna like run people like thousands of dollars, and then at the same time be able to run shows like 3 times a week and have something cool like that. And I have like a deal with the comedy club too, so just more sources.
Oh, you mean have a comedy club type thing in there as well?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you looking? This just, it sounds so so grand, you know?
It's going to start out very small. Like, I think the steps are going to gradually grow and grow. Right now, I'm just trying to find a place where if we can have a venue place, then everything else will kind of, like, fall into place, because that area can still be used for recording. A lot of people think that you have to have this, like, really fancy place to record, but my band that I have, we record in a basement, and we're nearly like professional recording.
What this sounds really risky, Skylar, you know?
It is very risky.
Because there's been a lot of these types of places around town, and they've all closed down for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what's going to make yours different? You know, I'm trying not to be combative
oh,
here.
Oh, no, you're fine.
I just want, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like, it seems like a really good idea, but it seems like it's failed so many times.
I think the biggest part of it was not having that connection with the people that are going to these venues. There's a lot of people at startup venues down here, but they have maybe connections with like bigger bands, but you're not always going to get a bigger band. And then people that do want to show up, there's not enough exposure to know that it's even there. Like some of these places that I'm just now learning about that closed down, I had never heard of. And I was trying to figure out why. It's like, I can't find it on Facebook. I can't find it on Google. So I think the biggest part of it is trying to find that right exposure level, getting the right crowd, and definitely having like a safer place. I know there's a few places that were sketchy, and that's why they were closed down. So
what were some of those places?
I have no idea the names. I really wish I did.
Yeah, honestly, the only places I could think of all ages was the ones that I've been to. Was there was a like Club Logos? Was that in Franklin?
I want to say so. There's the Hoosier Dome up in Indy too, and that's I take a lot of inspiration from that place.
I've never been there. Is that downtown or north side?
It's on Prospect Street, so it's downtown.
Is it? That's all ages.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
It's the one of the few I know of. So
have you ran a business before? Do you got people that are gonna work on that?
It is definitely new for me, but I have some people that are more experienced business wise. And they're definitely pushing me forward so that I could learn a little bit more.
It just sounds really cool, but scary as shit. John, what do you think?
It sounds really cool, man. It definitely sounds awesome. It sounds like something that we need here, like on the south side of Indy, Greenwood area, for sure.
Like, I don't even know how much, like, where do you find a location? Like, I mean, walk me through some of that. Like, how much does it cost?
So what I'm finding is that the Greenwood area is not very friendly to new entrepreneurs. It is one of the most expensive places I've ever seen, but it's one of the most perfect places to have a venue. A lot of places. So right now I go look at different stores, places that have closed down. Retail places are actually really good for this because I'm not necessarily looking for like a huge building right now. And so starting small kind of helps. And other than like soundproofing and stuff, it's not really hard to set up, but that place is still like $12 a square foot, which is like almost $1,800 a month. And it's a lot.
Wow.
So
that's just, does that include utilities or is that just,
Nope.
Damn. Yeah, like, now to think about that, like, the way I look at that, because I'm not a scientist, but, nor am I a businessman, but, you know what I mean, like, so, I mean, with utilities, I mean, it's going to be at least, I mean, how much do you think utilities cost a month?
I couldn't see it being more than about $800, to be fairly honest, and we're going to run a lot more energy-saving equipment than a lot of places will anyway, so...
Okay, so you're looking at like $2,600, or you know, $3,000 is what you said the Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. You rounded up to $3,000 on your Kickstarter.
$3,000 was actually like a really low number.
Really?
But go ahead. Sorry.
But that's for is that what you have though on Kickstarter? Is that what you're trying to hit?
I'm trying to hit $3,000 so that can at least like. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Am I fucking this up? Is it GoFundMe?
No, it's Kickstarter.
Okay. Before I keep rambling on about this. Where do people go to find that? What do we type in?
So that is a really good question. I'm very new to Kickstarter as well. I know you just go to Kickstarter, and I believe you can search by like cities and states. And that's probably where you guys stumbled upon it as well. But then we also promote it through Facebook. But you just type in Bring the Music Back to Greenwood. And it should pop up.
All right, Bring the Music Back to Greenwood. You know, some of those, like, I think Kickstarter, you have to hit the goal, but some of them will let you keep the money even if you don't.
Mm-hmm. I know Indiegogo will do that. It's just a little bit more obscure than some other ones, so I chose Kickstarter instead.
What were you about to say before I interrupted you?
That is a good question.
I was asking about the $3,000.
Okay, yeah. So the reason why I wanted at least $3,000 is whether that is enough to necessarily start. It is a good start to have like that foundation on it, and then I can move on from there. But if I said it's like $5,000-$10,000, there's no guarantee we're going to get that, and then we're going to lose out on all of that before we can even like begin to set our foundations.
Okay, so you're probably going to have a series of Kickstarter campaigns,
which is the hope. Like, we might have to do Kickstarters just to find what equipment we need. So, but we have a lot of people that are donating equipment, which is nice, and then. We also already have a lot of equipment.
Is this gonna be like a nonprofit type thing or like a community?
It's definitely gonna be community oriented. It's probably gonna be more of a for profit thing, but it's more so that what we have, we can pay the people that we have first of all, and then just try to expand a little bit as well.
Help me crunch numbers here, because I'm so fascinated by this. I'm really excited about this idea. How do you, if it's $3,000 is the minimum you need to keep that place running each month, how do you make $3,000 a month?
So the idea is that we get at least 90 people a week into the venue. And that's just for shows. And that won't bring up, I think that brings up around about $3,500.
How much does a ticket cost for a show?
So I'd say about $10. Which is, I'd hope to get it lower. I really want to push it lower, but I think from the start it will probably be about $10.
All right. And you know what? That's somewhat feasible if you're doing local bands for kids, you know, like in high school, and you're doing that those shitty things that I hate, the pay-to-play, you know, where it's like tickets in advance, $10.
Yeah, which I don't want to run by the system where, like, you got to sell these amount of tickets or you're not getting anything or you're not playing or...
Well, you still get to play. You just, you don't get to pick your time slot or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's how those corporations, you know what I mean? There's all sorts of, like, production companies they call, or entertainment. Yeah. What do they call themselves? Entertainment booking agencies.
And they take all the money, right?
Yeah, they take all the money.
They put you out to work on the street selling tickets. They take the money. You get to play. Ooh.
My goal is to have a street team and promote every band that comes to our show. I think that would work really well in the Greenwood area since we're mostly service. So we got a lot of people walking around, a lot of people driving around. And then we got a lot of schools near us as well, which is a big deal because Greenwood's like fairly dense.
Yeah, you got to bring in those kids, man, because like at my age, you know, like most people I know, like nobody wants to hear a band they've never heard of.
Yeah.
But kids love it.
That's definitely something that's drawn me in because, like, me going to concerts. I mean, I'm only 19 right now, but I've been going to concerts since I was 16 and is the greatest thing I've ever had, just, like, finding a new band. Whether they're good or not, watching a new band is always, like, a really fun sight.
You're only 19?
Yep.
Wow, man. You're taking on a lot here. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, straight out of high school. It's something I've been pushing for a very long time, and I just got tired of, you know, holding the brakes on it, and I was like, we need to really get on this before, like, these places, like, there's a lot of places for lease right now that aren't going to be available in 6 months, and that's something that we got to work on as well.
So now what type of place, I mean... I think it'd be amazing if you could get something in downtown Greenwood. That sounds like a cool... If I'm a kid, that seems like a really cool place to be.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the other fun part. And you can run around and get into trouble.
Yeah. I've been definitely, like, a little bit more on, like, the Center Grove Greenwood side, but I've been looking also on the Center Grove... Greenwood City. But it's really hard to find places to lease there, especially for like the right size, because we need at least like, I want to say 12,000 square feet to even have like a feasible showroom.
So this place is going to offer like recording space. It
sounds like a one-stop shop. The recording space.
Practice space.
Practice space. A comedy club. What else was there? Venue?
It's definitely a big idea, and I don't think all of those will be implemented like right away. Those are definitely my ideas, and it's definitely something I want to push for. But I definitely a venue and definitely a recording studio. Those are the two biggies. And then I want to hold, be able to, like, on days that we don't do anything, I want to be able to hold, like, events for, like, people to learn different instruments, for just random community events that people can, like, come together for, and hopefully even make those free, not even have to worry about that, and just have people come in, look around, and see if they like something, then hopefully they'll be customers later. If they don't, then, hey, we're doing something with the community, and that's good for me.
Well, see, now that's what's strange is it's all relying on someone, because you're saying, you know, like community, you know, when you say community coming around, and I'm thinking older people, you know, and like you want them to, I could see an older person using, I guess, recording space. That's, yeah, I guess that's what the older people do, and then the younger people would pay to see shows.
And I, luckily, since I've been going to shows for so long, like I meet a lot of bands, which is like a really nice thing. Like I have friends in Fishers, I have friends down in Bloomington, friends in Greenwood that I met just through music. And so a lot of these people, they need recording places, and they don't have the money or the time to really invest to get this equipment. And so me already having a lot of the equipment, I think would really help like set that down so they can record, they can get their stuff out there. So it's the best that they can do. They can show their music, not just like whatever they could scramble together.
I don't know, man. I wish the best for you, but I don't. This
it is. It's definitely a risky venture. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It sounds like John. What do you? I mean, would you take on this task?
It sounds. I mean, like.
See, we're old. We're jaded. You know, so we don't have that young enthusiasm anymore.
It sounds like if you could get like a legitimate like financial backer to invest in it or something, then you'd have the money to get going. But like as far as hoping on people from Kickstarter are going to keep you mm-hmm. afloat every month, that's very dangerous. Oh, yeah. Risky, but hey, you know,
that's not what I'm hopefully I won't have to rely on that. And right. That's
because normally you go to the, normally you go to the bank, right, and they give you a loan that's supposed to usually when you get a loan to start a small business, I believe that it's they are there to give you enough money to get your business started and enough money to keep your business running for a year. Does that sound accurate?
Mm-hmm. The big problem though with loans is you still have that to pay, and you still have the lease to pay, and you still got the utilities to pay, and that's just adding one more bill that you got to have on.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So I mean that's what I've strayed away from loans, but.
But I guess what I'm putting the loan thing together with John, you know, like, yeah. Basically what, you know, like, are you going to risk going under each month? Or?
Hopefully not. there's definitely a lot of work that needs to be put into the financial thought. And I've done a lot of it, but there's a lot of things that I won't understand and I won't recognize. And so hopefully I'm having some second hands coming in and kind of leading me the way through, but we'll have to see where it goes from that.
I do not envy you, dude. let's think of some hypothetical situations. Okay. Mm-hmm. What would you do if all the local businesses started to complain because there were too many kids hanging around all the time?
Alrighty. So a lot of these places, I'm assuming, like, in between shows or even after that, there's going to be people outside. There's always people outside causing trouble. Unfortunately, that's a reality that, like, a lot of us can't change, unfortunately. But there are things that we can do. I'm definitely trying to promote, like, a safer place for people to be in. And that's kind of avoiding the question on their part. But it's just having the right people there on the outside, being able to watch, not necessarily like chaperones, but like having someone there to kind of take control of a situation and move it towards a more friendlier place. And especially if there's a lot of kids like hanging around, a building, there's a lot of opportunity for like vandalism and other things to happen. And that's what we want to avoid. And hopefully we'll be able to keep people inside the building. That is also a big hope, just to be able to keep everyone that is there until they are ready to leave.
Yeah.
So.
They better have that good AC going.
Yeah. Oh, it gets hot in places like that.
What type of bands are you planning on booking, you know? Do you have any list of your favorites or something that, you know, who are you thinking? Who's the first show going to be?
Well, it'd probably be with some of my friends with Nothing Is Sound. They've been a big support. Especially with this project and with my band in general. Probably avoid having my band play there first, just to showcase some more local bands.
Hey, man, you may as well, dude. You put all this work into it. Why not crack it off with your band, dude?
We'll see. I know my guitarist wants to run the mixer for the sound, so we'll have to see how that goes. But, we have a... Let's see. There's a few other bands. I have a lot of acoustic sets I know that I can get in there easily if I had to. I have a lot of friends in the metal scene. I have some friends in the punk scene, and I'm slowly expanding more on that. Wow, I'm trying to remember band names right now. I just remember them from their actual names.
Caffeinated Youth.
Yeah. I think we have a big punk scene around here. And so it'd be really nice to showcase that. We also have a really big rap scene, and I don't think a lot of people appreciate that. And a lot of people outsource it.
The rap scene freaks me out, man.
Yeah.
You know, the metal scene freaks me out, too. I don't like the metal scene because I hate metal, and all these guys think they're the best. When they just make my ears bleed. And then the rap scene, we got a lot of talented, you know, hip-hop guys, but, you know, that's really all they know how to do is do hip hop. A lot of them can't make beats, and they find themselves in this strange position when they go to play shows that they don't really know how to do it. And it can be kind of a letdown, but these guys are talented as shit. You know?
You got to fix them. Yeah, I've met a lot of people in the rap scene. I can't place any names right now. I'm really like aggravated with that.
The almighty spit.
Yep. But there's a lot of people in Fishers as well that are definitely people that I would recommend for this show. But it's just trying to find my place, trying to find my words right now.
Where are you at right now?
Oh, I'm at a McDonald's.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Are you a manager there?
I was not at this one, but I moved over to Walmart.
Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was a big punk scene on the south side.
A lot of it is near Bloomington, or it's literally like Bloomington, or you cut straight up to Indianapolis. Mm. And there is a small punk scene in Greenwood, but it's rising. And I think as soon as people have the opportunity to play in bands, I think we'll see a lot more people.
What kind of
performing?
What kind of punk bands do we have in Greenwood?
So I know. I don't know if they have any stuff up or not, but there's a band called Bipolar Bears. It's a duet group, or as two people anyway, and they do this. Can't quite place the genre that they do, but they have this acoustic punk set, and they have a violin and an acoustic guitar. Oh, sorry.
Outlaw Country.
There is actually a few country bands here. I know one of them, but I can't place their name either.
The Bone Fags.
The Bone Fags. But I don't think they post their stuff as often as some other people do.
What was that band, The Bone Fags? Was that their name?
Yeah, they were a Greenwood punk band. Yeah.
Bone Fags.
Yeah, they have some crazy names.
I think that's the best out of all of them. I've heard some crazy names. I think the Bone Fags is the greatest band name in the world I've ever heard. The Bone Fags. Like, who the fuck names their band that?
I don't know. Some guys from Greenwood. I gotta go see those guys.
But we definitely have a lot of upcoming bands.
Are you gonna have the Bone Fags play at your venue?
He's not going to have the bone fest.
You should.
That's a good question, though. Would you now? Would you have a band like depending on? Would you discriminate on a band based on their name?
I don't think so. There's a lot of nice people that you wouldn't expect them to be, just because we label them as soon as we see their name or something like that.
If it's an all ages show, though, I think legally, I don't know if you can have a band like Anal Cunt play.
That would be a problem. Yeah.
That's against the law if it's all ages?
Well, that's kind of, I mean,
just if, sounds against you, the common it, sense law.
Well, yeah, it might take away from the reputation a little bit, I think. Right. Not necessarily law breaking, but
they just don't get it out here, man.
Now, what are you going to do if cuz here's a problem I always have when I went to Club Logos and you go to a lot of these, you know, like all ages clubs, is they always feel like the cheese factor is really high. You know, like, they don't feel cool, you know? Like, you got the Emerson, that's all ages, but it feels kind of cool, you know, because it feels like a shithole.
Yeah.
Everything's all black, but, like, you got a lot of these all ages, they look like a fucking rec room, you know, for a preschooler or something. You know, primary colors and stuff, like.
Rec room.
Yeah.
Nice paintings hanging on the wall. Right. It's like, dude, you shouldn't have paintings on the wall because you should be afraid they're going to get ripped off.
No, something that I'm hopefully doing... it's kind of like a community project. So we're going to have to soundproof, of course. And so that means ripping out some of the drywall. And hopefully, if we can, and this is something I'm really pushing for, is having just local artists come in graffiti or draw or paint on these slabs of drywall and be able to have that and kind of bring it all together, have some border into it as well, so it's not just all random and sporadic, but at the same time having this kind of like...
So I think it should be random and sporadic.
Roughy feel.
Because otherwise, if it's not random and sporadic, you're bordering that cheese. Like, it should be so random and sporadic, though, that even though a nice, you know, somebody who's very talented did this one masterful piece, it should still be okay if I want to come in with a Sharpie and write my name on it.
Yeah. Well, okay, so like, when I have that idea, it's like, bring it all again. Like bring it all in, like with a border on top, so it kind of looks professional still. So I was thinking, so that we have like the graffiti background, and then maybe like an orange like border on the top, but just on the top, and then have the names of like the people.
No. I think it should look like somebody threw up on the wall and you Brillo padded it down with bleach. Like kids need an experience when they walk in there. They should feel like I'm not supposed to be here.
This
place
is
cool. This is dangerous, and that's gonna make them want to go back every time.
Yeah, you can't have parental approval. We kill it every time, man.
I'm speaking from a young punk kid myself.
Yeah. You walk into the Emerson for the first time. It's like that's what every other club, you know, feels like. Just a shithole, you know, but. For some reason,
because it makes you feel, you know, it makes you feel like you're at a real club.
Yeah. Whereas
when I went to Logos, I was like, this place feels like cheesy. Like, what's wrong with this place? Like, it just feels fake.
Yeah.
You need to, like, fuck, dude, just don't even replace it. Like, don't even put the drywall on.
That is cool, though. You know, he's like,
I like you're putting thought into it.
Yeah, lots of thought.
It's cool. He's got. I'm not trying to bash your idea. I'm just fucking around. But you got the. Although I am serious about how it should feel like a grungy club in there without being a painted on to look like a fake club.
Yeah. Henry Rollins should be proud of this club, man.
Yeah, because most of these clubs end up looking the way they look because they can't afford to fix them up.
Yeah.
All these insane punkers come through there, you know.
I got two big questions. Well, first one's a statement that on the. You got to bring. What is it? Bring back music to Greenwood? Kickstarter?
Bring back music to Greenwood.
Those are the rewards on there is you get to, you know, have your own section of the wall to draw on, you know, to do the artwork for. That's pretty cool. Here's a good question. It's the most important question of all. What is the name of the place going to be?
So we're definitely been bouncing around ideas. Studio-wise, I think we've settled on Truth Studios. It stays true to my band and how we started upcoming. But for the venue-wise, we definitely want to have something that's like personal to Greenwood and something that's kind of cool, kind of like I'm going here, like kind of feeling. And so we're bouncing around ideas still. I think that's a biggie, especially if you're trying to get your name out there.
I'm going to put my recommendation there. I think it should be something nondescript like XYZ. You know, like something just, you know, like CBGBs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it should just be something that could fucking be anything. Like you, like what's like Rehearsal Studios or Sunshine Inn?
Just like
those are stupid
names.
Yeah,
I understand what you mean.
Club logos. Like, it's like no, I want like the Emerson
this
Theaters.
This is the place they come to.
Yeah, you know, like you could even call it, you know, the shit, the fuck you room, or you know, like I'm trying to think of. John, help me out.
The alley.
Yeah.
The back alley.
Yeah, the alley.
The back alley.
The alley lounge or the alley room or, yeah, something room or lounge. Like, you know, it could be the Skylar room.
I would go see the Sky room for sure.
Skylar room.
No, I'm sorry. No, I would not go see the Skylar room.
What?
It's got to be Sky. The Skylar sounds good. Yeah, the name is—it's all in the name, unfortunately. But I don't know. You get stuff going. I guess the name won't matter. But yeah,
I'm warning you with peace and love.
Right.
Stay away from the cheese.
Yeah.
That's my only advice. Is like let that place be cool.
Yeah.
Just by being organically cool.
Yeah. Don't let it get watered down by the parents and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand.
Keep it offensive, man.
Like you should do all the graffiti yourself. I hate these professional graffiti taggers.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it looks real nice.
Look at these multicolored, you know.
Yeah, it's not the idea of graffiti. Graffiti is shitty.
Yeah, your graffiti should look like while you were fucking loading up the place, some asshole broke into your fucking studio and spray painted the place up.
Like, I think this might be like a not necessarily like a great term to bring this in, but it's like I definitely want like kind of like a Berlin Wall kind of feel to like graffiti wise, like on the walls.
Nice.
Like if you've ever seen stuff on that, it's really neat.
I've never seen that.
Because like if you've ever heard of people having like a slab of the Berlin Wall and just seeing all the graffiti on it, it just like this 1 foot by 1 foot slab, but it has like all this artwork on it, and it's really neat.
I like that. Is it just graffiti on top of graffiti that's unrecognizable, or can you actually make stuff out?
I'm assuming from the few pieces I've seen, like they're just small sections of like bigger graffiti, but they have like a lot of overlay. Like a lot of people have gone over it, and it's just neat all around because it has a lot of stories to tell, a lot of like time that it's gone through, that's just like different iterations of that same wall. So
that sounds pretty good. Just pile. Like I don't, you know, I just don't like the big murals.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
All right, cool. Well, we're on the same page here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might give them like I want to say it's like a 4 foot slab, like width wise, and then probably won't even make it go that tall because then I'll like cut them in half. So I think it'll be probably like a 4x4, and have that like canvas for someone to do that on.
Oh, you're saying like people get to take it home with them and they're, you know what I mean?
It's a possibility. I think I'd rather keep it there because especially stuff like drywall is quite fragile.
See,
I wouldn't be ashamed to have some pits in it, but
yeah, I was gonna say that's the type of stuff I'm talking about. You got a corner of drywall missing, you know, somebody dropped it. Fuck it. put it up there, you know, like just paint it black. That's what everybody else does. Just paint it all black. Yep. All right, Skylar, good luck. Thank you so much for coming to our show. We're so fascinated by this. I hope it works out, and we'll definitely keep an eye on it and hopefully be there for the first, you know, be some of your first customers. What, when are you, do you have any sort of like idea of timeline of when you want to open this, or are you just still looking for a place?
I am still looking for a place. That is a big deal with the money factor that's going in. But I hope to have it open before this winter. It's probably going to be 2 or 3 weeks in construction, and then other than that, it should be ready to go.
Wow, man. Well, good luck to you. Keep us posted for sure. We'll keep an eye on it.
Alrighty, thank you.
All right, man. Have a good one, sir.
Alrighty, you too. Thank you.
All right. Kickstarter.com, bring the music back to Greenwood. So I don't know if we explained. Greenwood is a town in Indianapolis that's on the south side. I technically don't live in Greenwood. I live in Indianapolis. but losers like John live in Greenwood.
Yeah, there's a bit of a smell down there in the Greenwood after the county line. It just gets way weird.
I like that guy, man. He's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah.
I really fear that it's going to
not work.
Well, it could work.
He's got that youthful idealism, I guess, you know?
I know. But remember the guys from, not Clutch. What's that band? Dent,
yeah.
Is that a local Indianapolis band?
Yeah.
Remember that guy and his wife opened up that coffee shop.
Oh yeah,
down in Greenwood. The same type of situation, you know. Or
is that still going?
That was their no.
Oh
no.
Yeah, there's like not much going on in Greenwood.
These independent businesses are rough, man. I'm telling you, I think that I don't think I'd want to do it anywhere other than downtown Greenwood. To be honest with you.
Yeah, I guess he says there's no space there. I don't know.
Oh, is that what he said? I'm not some fucking space.
He said it's hard to find like enough square footage there that he needs.
John, what was that? What was that place by the Roscoe's Tacos?
Toxity?
Is that still open?
No.
See, that was
that was the only place that I know about in Greenwood. You could go there and hang out. That was the place that you could go hang out
for kids.
Yeah, video games. It was like a video game place, but.
It was all ages. It was a place where kids would come in and play console video games.
Yeah.
And you pay by the hour, and you just come in and hang out. I'm sure these kids were getting stoned. You know, middle schoolers and shit.
They sold a lot of energy drinks there.
A lot of energy drinks, candy, you know, galvanized metal and shit on the doors, you know, make it look real cool.
That was a cool place.
Diamond cut. Steel or whatever they call that. You know, they were trying to look cool. And, it, you know, but they kind of had a little bit of that cheese factor to it.
They were a couple older guys.
But they had a stage, and they also had concerts, you know, in the parking lot and shit. And they also got a lot of complaints from the neighboring companies for all these kids that would hang around and fuck shit up.
Yeah, you got to know that they're going to be out there, you know?
But now they're closed. Well, you got to figure out a way to prevent them from fucking shit up.
Right. And what I was going to came to mind with Skylar was it probably, you know, just get a few dudes that are just live, you know, like, I'm in it for the scene, man, you know, like they'll work for free or whatever, some of your buddies. And just like, you know, have them stay, you know, at each show and like monitor, you know, like just make sure that no one's out there fucking shit up. And
well,
then
what you need to do is you need to get it to where everybody is that guy.
Yeah, okay.
Where everybody's like, man, this is the only place we got in town to hang out. Like, man, don't do this. Don't you gonna fuck this up for all of us, bro. We doing this shit, man.
Hopefully people will already be like that. I don't know if they start getting hip-hop shows in there. Maybe we get some attitude in there. But, you know, yeah, hopefully people will understand that. If we fuck this place up, there'll be nowhere else to go. So don't fuck it up.
I don't know, man. Plus, he's talking about Center Grove. Like,
you put your nose up real high in the air down there in Center Grove. I don't know if punk rock shows or metal shows.
What these coffee shops that open up? We were talking about the guy from Dent. He opened up a coffee shop. But another big thing that these guys do, the reason why I brought them up, is they're all about that local community. Mm. And they have all sorts of paintings that are for sale and photography on the wall from local artists. And they invite local artists to come in and use the space in their coffee shop for whatever they want.
Mm.
You want to shoot a movie here? Fine. You know, you want to, you know, like hold auditions here? Fine. You want to play music here? You want to practice here? Fine. You want to perform a show here? Fine. You know, like I've seen shows there, been in a movie that was shot there, you know, all this stuff. And then they closed down.
That was a terrible location, though.
Well, now what about this place in Center Grove called Strange Brew, which was another coffee shop next to their Pizza Hut? And it was basically exactly what I just described.
Yeah, that one was at least accessible off of a fairly major road, but yeah.
And people played music there, you know, they had shows there.
Right.
Is that place still open?
I don't know. It might be. It might not be. Oh, look.
Yeah, look it up there, guy. These places, these small businesses, you know, like
They come and they go.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be real. Like, he's got to be real innovative. He's not necessarily going to fail.
I was afraid for him, though. I was very scary listening to that.
I still am.
Yeah, he's talking about going into it not even having the rent money. Like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't start it if you don't know where the money's coming from.
Well, if you got you nothing. You could.
Right, yeah,
at least
yeah.
you got nothing to lose.
Yeah, if you got nothing to lose, don't let that stop you from doing it. But, man.
It's better than going in there with a year's worth of money and not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
And spending all your money.
Yep, because that's the other thing. Yeah, money will...
Is that Strange Brew still open?
It looks like it is.
Oh, wow. Good for
the
those guys.
The oldest coffee shop in Greenwood. Been open since 2009. No. Well, yeah, I don't know. Let me look and see it.
No,
how
yeah.
How long have been open?
No, it's...
I was making a joke.
No, it's something like that.
Really?
Like 10 years or something. 10 years or 15 years? No, 10 years.
It's... They don't say how long that is. That makes... Yeah, it can't be very long. The oldest coffee shop in Greenwood, but you don't
that's
say how
so
long.
That's so sad.
It is. It's very sad. Yeah.
They're in Center Grove. That's not... Or is that... Greenwood is Center Grove.
Greenwood is Center Grove, but Center Grove is that area.
They advertise themselves as the oldest coffee shop in Greenwood.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that... I thought I remember when that place was built.
They opened 10 years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
And that just goes to show you.
I was working at that Pizza Hut next door when they were open.
And how old were you? Could you drink?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like 24 or 5 or something, I think.
So you're saying that they opened 8 years ago, 7 years ago?
Something like that, I think so, yeah. I could be all wrong, but yeah.
That's insane.
It's not that long. It's not nothing like 20
That's
years.
Really depressing that they can advertise that they're the oldest coffee shop in Greenwood.
Yeah. There's another... That Coffee House 5 is pretty cool.
That place was fucking weird.
Well, they moved. They moved out of the church, and they're in their own spot now.
Oh, are
and
they
that
good now?
Yeah, that place is cool. They have a coffee that they made their own coffee. You got to go try it. I haven't tried it yet, but it's brewed like Guinness. Like, it's draft style. You know, you get your coffee draft style. It says it's like a Guinness. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
That's neat. Now, yeah, the only thing I know about Coffee House 5 is when I got back from San Francisco, I basically had not gone to any chains. I was only going to local businesses. So when I got back in town, I was like, I'm not going to Starbucks.
Right.
I'm going to go to local. Where's a local coffee? I want a good local coffee joint.
Right.
I couldn't find one.
Yeah.
You know, and I found this place called Coffee House 5. Took me forever. I passed them 3 times before I realized they were inside of a church, which made me not like them already, you know?
Right.
And so I went in there, and, you know, it's like, hey, man, I'm just trying here to get a cup of coffee. And these people are like, man, who's this guy?
Oh, right.
This is unshaven guy, right. You know, shorts coming in here. Like, what the hell's going on?
Right.
And, you know, you go in there, there's just a single lady, and they're sitting down reading a newspaper by herself. And she's like, oh, wait, oh, that's a customer. He needs something. Really, really weird, but super polite. Yeah, they said they were getting a new place, so now they're gone. They moved.
Yeah, they moved like a little bit down the street. The guy that owns it's like a free marriage counselor, and he's a pastor. And he's been kind of rude to me, and that's what makes me like him. Because usually pastors are like overly nice, and you know, it's like fake nice. Not this guy.
You like him because he's a prick.
He's not. He's quiet and he's reserved. You know, I like that. He's not overly nice, and, you know, he's like a normal person. He's like a real person. That's why I like him.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
So should I go to this place or no?
Yeah, definitely go there. It's across the street from
us. Is he married?
Yeah, he is. His wife works there, too.
So do you think she's the lady who...
Maybe.
I don't remember what she looked like.
Maybe.
She's kind of a short, frail lady with brown hair.
I think the wife that I met was taller.
Oh.
The stuff they have there is great. The like high quality food, you know, like
I don't give a fuck about this. Nobody listening to this cares.
And we got our Greenwood audience tonight.
We have one person watching us on Periscope. And for all we know, that could be us. Click that one. Click it. Scroll down where it says one live viewer. It doesn't even say who it is.
No.
What a disappointment. Cool. Huh. Oh. It's somebody on the internet's watching us.
Mike Moore.
Oh, it says test, dude. We never actually did a new one. John, press that. There you go. Thanks, guy.
I'm trying to find the music here.
Music. Oh, you want to end the show? Let's do it. It feels like it's time to end the show, doesn't it?
It's been an hour.
I know, but you do realize we normally go for an hour and a half. Let's not rush it. I mean, let's not pull hair, pull teeth. Let's do it. Let's wrap her up.
Okay.
Unless, but I feel we were going somewhere with this. Oh, yeah. So it doesn't, of all the places, these small businesses in Greenwood, Indiana, you got to be really, really innovative. And I don't know if he's, okay, let's think about what he's offering, all right? Is there a place in town where you can record music?
Not that I know of, you know? Not that I know of. They didn't make it not there, but yeah, it's not like general knowledge. Like, oh, you want to record, you go over to that place there, the XYZ.
In this day and age, do you need a place in town where you can record music?
Yes, and I didn't realize it until he said something. He was like, if people have, what did he say? If people have a place where they can go and play music, I think that they will. No one plays music in Greenwood because there's nowhere to go. Like, you know, you, if you can't play in your dad's basement or whatever, you got nowhere to be. You know, he's saying a lot of other places.
But everything he's saying,
yeah,
he's saying, like we've done everything he's saying as far as recording.
Oh, yeah, well, you know. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The only thing that I could see special about his place as far as the recording aspect goes is if it's something niche, you know, if it's like all analog.
He needs like a gimmick to get you in the studio. I think the gimmick would just be A, you want to support the place, B, you're in a band and you know you need somewhere to record, C, you're tired of doing it in your bedroom, you know. But yeah, literally, do you absolutely have to have it? No, I guess. But if you're a musician,
you're saying if he does it,
practice space too, that's definitely something that people
practice
need.
Space is good,
yeah, and that's something they have there. And he's saying that he's trying to get it. The price down, you know, so you don't have to pay an arm and a leg to record an album or have a practice space. So that's cool. It sounds like he said, and he said it too, it's a community thing, you know. He's trying to give out to the community by having a place. He said he wants to run free community events there and stuff. And that's really cool, but it's going to take the community to give back a little bit. That's why I was saying he should just find some kind of investor, you know, a sponsor or something. It's like all the shows that we do, all the flyers, everything, you're going to be on it, or a few sponsors. And then, you know, that's who pays for all the overhead and stuff.
That's a good idea.
I imagine that he's thought of that. If not, I'm sure someone will mention that to him.
He does need a sponsor.
Daddy Warbucks will fund whatever you want. You know, just go get you a Center Grove, you know.
I'm doing math here, okay? Let's check this out.
Because Center Grove has deep pockets. That's the one thing I know about Center Grove. The people who live there have lots of money. So find some kid who's in a band and his dad is rich and hang out with this kid. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. You know, you do not do that to people. Don't use them just for their money. But if you should, ask around. Ask some people in bands. Hey, does your dad want to sponsor some stuff?
He says he needs 90 people a week.
A week for $10,
at
right?
$10.
What's that, $9 million?
A month, that would be $3,600.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'd be $900, you know, a week.
Right.
So he needs $900 a week.
To get by? To stay afloat,
yeah. To break even,
but that's 10 people. That's no recording. That's no practice space.
That's 90 people a week. That's not 10 people. That's 90 people a week.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So, but if you think of it logically, 90 people a week. You cross your fingers. You could do that if you have.
If you have a draw, like if you have shows that are drawing 90 people, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you want to break it down by day, 90 people a week, it's if you do a show every day, if you bring in 13 people each day.
He was saying that.
Just think about that,
though. He was saying like two or three shows a week, I think.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to even bring in 13 people
at
a show.
Well, that's what's good about the local thing is, you know, you get in with those local bands, like, you know. Zach Fritz's band is going to be playing, so go see them, you know, and all their fans will go see them, and you know, you can count on 90 of Zach Fritz's friends showing up, you know.
Zach Fritz don't have 90 friends.
Yeah, I was hoping that wasn't a real name, but I think it is, isn't it?
I never went to a show Club Logos that had 90 people there.
Yeah, not one. You know, he said if three shows, you know, 30 people at each show.
And you got to sell nachos.
Yeah,
you got to sell some concessions.
Sell some merch. Yeah, some concessions, you know. I mean, he could do it for sure. He's got to get your ducks in a row. But I really think that he should look for people to sponsor or invest, you know, because people want to support the arts and stuff like that. He's got to get out in front of him. Like, hey, I'm starting a venue. Give me money.
I vote that the place just looks like a shithole.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Don't. Yeah.
Because the nicer it is, the harder you're going to have to clean it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, spick and span, you know, you have to keep it clean. If it starts out dirty.
Yeah. Or the more something gets broken.
Right.
It's going to be more expensive to fix it.
Right.
You know, because it was a nicer thing.
Yeah. But there is that thing that Andy used to say, though, you know.
If a place looks like shit, you're more likely to trash it.
Yeah. Yeah. I never felt like I was about to trash the Emerson, though. I kind of felt like I'd get trashed myself if I did that. You know, if you go in the bathroom and destroy it, you know, then. Big Frank, the hardcore dude, can't take a crap, you know, and he's going to crap in your mouth.
But you're not worried about, like, even spray painting the bathroom door at the Emerson.
Right. You would be able to do that if you wanted to, I imagine.
You wouldn't be too worried about it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's how it should be here. Like, just cosmetically, you should be able to, if someone went and took a marker and drew all over it, you wouldn't know anything had happened. Yeah. The landlord's not going to say, what's the deal with that marker? Because there's marker everywhere.
Yeah, if somebody trips and falls or a mosh pit gets a little out of control and somebody's head accidentally goes through the drywall,
right.
That should be okay.
Right. It adds to the aesthetics.
Yeah.
It just got more punk, dude.
Now, it would just get might get out of control if once that drywall head hole, somebody starts picking at that, and next thing you know, people are ripping out the drywall. You know, so you might want to put
some
sort of...
That'd be the coolest show ever, dude.
Put some sort of patch on it.
Just rip the drywall out. There's an Anti-Flag song about that. It's like the house destruction party. They were getting kicked out anyway, so they had a house destruction party. They tore the house down, and Anti-Flag played there.
Yeah. Penn Jillette was talking about doing that to his house.
Tear it down?
Yeah, the... What's the name of his... The Dungeon? I think that's what it's called. Yeah, man, that... But I think the Church of Bacon is buying it.
Is that his thing, too?
No, it's not his thing. Church of Bacon. So then they're going to be like the largest like atheist community in the world.
His house and the Church of Bacon?
Yeah, like the Church of Bacon's going to buy it from him instead of them ripping it down.
Oh.
So it'll be like a gathering place, you know? Not a church per se.
Right.
But, yeah. That's pretty cool.
That is cool. Penn Jillette's a cool guy.
On that note, we probably should end this. I wish Skylar Cross luck.
Yeah, man.
I do.
A-doobie-doo.
Cherish you.
Mm.
Come on, man.
I'm waiting on the computer.
I'm just going to grab this fucking mic. I would like to thank... Darren Snyder at Indian Tune, Mike Moore from WFO Dix, Matt Leroy from Beardy and the Beast, John G. from the 405 Media Group, Mary Elizabeth Rumsey at meandrhyme.wordpress.com, and Mr. Rich Barker from Punk Rock Night, the Melody Inn, where every Saturday night is Punk Rock Night at the Melody Inn in Indianapolis at 38th and Illinois.
Well, we also got to give the thanks to Ron at Radio Max Music, Jeremy at Couch Potato Nation, Mark at the Tangent Bound Network, Jack at the Mix FM, Suma Peter down there in the Africa Loud Town Radio.
Coming to you out of Africa. I think that was racist.
It probably was. It sounded like an Indian.
Oh, do you want me to pick up now? Is that why he stopped?
Linda and Ron.
We need to message them. I don't think they never respond to anything. What's wrong with those fucks?
I don't know. They're kind of come and go, touch and go with them.
Tom at Talkstream Live. Mike and I are in the Internet Radio Network. Toby at the Radio Blitz. The Mars Sound 99 Sounds Choice. Tico at FJS Radio. Peter at Cornucopia Broadcasting. And Big Nate on the air at Cover Charge Radio.
That guy's dropping bombs.
Yes, he is. Sounds like he's spitting bombs there, buddy.
They don't always go off, you know.
Got some duds?
They got some duds in the mix,
Big
you know?
Nate don't drop duds.
He said he's dropping bombs. He didn't say they were live.
Live at Strange Label every Wednesday night. You know what? I'm going to say it. I don't think this was a very good show.
I think it was a historic show. It's an interesting show because of what's going on, you know, with the whole music scene thing that was cool.
I didn't think that was that cool.
It's a cool idea.
I think that kid's screwed.
We should do an update. And we'll do everything we can to support the guy. Everybody go check out the Untitled Venue. You know, when it, be there from the get-go. You can see a picture of us hanging on the wall, hopefully.
I hope he takes my advice seriously. Was that good advice or was that bad advice?
About which part?
Every single thing.
Most of it was good advice.
About the name?
The name, yeah, the name doesn't matter. It definitely shouldn't be anything like the Dairy Queen or something, you know? Like, it's got to have a real name. The Symbol.
What would be a good name?
I don't know. Just his initials. Why not just make it his initials?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Then I was thinking SCTV.
There you go.
SCVD.
I wish his band would play. Are you kidding me? If I open up a venue, you better believe our band is going to be playing at the stage. You know what I mean? On the first show.
He sounds good and humble, though. You know, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he does.
Can't believe he's 19.
Yeah. I thought he was going to be in like a hipster coffee shop. That's why I asked.
I looked him up on Facebook. I think he lied about his age on there. He must have gotten his Facebook before he was 13.
Okay, thank you very much. I hope you play it. And I know this is recording. And I hope you play it. Okay, see you guys.